Welcome back to JK Moto Podcast, a weekly motorcycle podcast for the everyday rider, covering current bike and racing news, specializing in track days, club racing, and great entertainment. We truly do it all. And this week, we're brought to you once again by Working Class Customs, which is a custom fabrication shop out of Northern Utah. If you want any more details on that, please direct them to Cole.
And I'm Cole.
That's Cole. I'm Easton. We are your two favorite hosts of your favorite weekly motorcycle podcast.
And if it sounds like Easton is in a bathroom, he's actually not. But he is on the road. And we would be remiss if we didn't at least get together to mention championship weekend.
It is championship weekend. And is that how bad it sounds? I can only hear myself. Does it sound like I'm in a bathroom? Kind of in a... I'm in a really cool place. I'm not going to get into too many details about that tonight, but we've had a great, awesome weekend out here where I'm at. I think we'll, in the next couple episodes, get into that and kind of break it down and tell you guys the stories. Unless I feel like there's something super compelling that needs to be said, then I'll say it. But it has been an awesome weekend where I'm at. That's why it does maybe sound like I'm in a bathroom. There is a metal roof, so that could be part of it. But if you want to hear all those stories, you should subscribe to the YouTube channel or follow us on whatever platform you're listening on. We are available on like just about all of them. We won't go through the list because it is large.
Right. We're going to recap some of the MotoGP racing action that happened this weekend. So let's roll the intro so we can get into that.
Yesterday at one point, I was in sixth.
And we're back
and we're live.
Hey, you know there was one of them Irish road racing races that happened
this weekend?
Yeah, well, there was a road race that happened, and they had some rain like you had today.
Oh boy.
And so, man, I seen it come across the screen that the top three were all BMWs, and I went, wow, that's cool. And then I looked and they didn't actually do the race. They just gave it to the top three qualifiers because they couldn't race.
That's kind of crazy to hear. Too much rain for the Irish road racing people.
I think it was Irish road racing. I don't know. It was something my wife was watching, actually. She kept showing me.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, rain is a great training tool. And if you're going to make a trip somewhere and you're looking at the weather, you might as well just bring some tires that are at least rain okay. Because you never know, especially if you're along the coast, what can happen up in the sky. That is about all I will say on that topic. It was still a good day. Still got to go burn a few laps and had some good experiences. But I can also definitely say that, yeah, if you're going to be in the rain, or there's even a possibility, or even not a possibility, you just bring some tires that are better for rain than slicks are. And that'll make it a little bit nicer on your car.
I know you're trying to be all secretive and everything, but I think anybody that listens knows where you probably are. So that brings me to the question, do we have a rider tip today, or do you just have all the tips? You're like full of tips. The tips are, you're full of tips. No more tips. What's going on here?
So we don't have a specific rider tip today. And I do have to apologize for that, because it's 100% my fault, because I have been, I'll say it. I'm down at the Josh Bidinger headquarters, or what I'm starting to name Josh Bidinger campus, if you will, because there is a lot of learning to be had here. It has been an awesome weekend, and I have been just soaking up all the tips. So I think I'll just share my personal favorite tip, and something that Josh himself, being a Bidinger Motorsports, building private coaching to build solid riders through vision-based training. That vision-based is probably, in my head at least, and I had quite a few conversations with Josh about that this weekend, is the number one thing that never goes away, that you can always work on. It's where everything starts. If you want to go fast, you have to move your eyes, and your eyes have to see. You got to have the vision. Like, that's all there is to it. You got to have the vision of the lap. You got to have the vision of the time. You got to have the vision of the lines. You got to have the vision of the braking markers, the gas markers. It's all just vision. And that's something that I really kind of honed in on this weekend. Like I said, we're not going to dig into it too much, but that is where I'm at. Bittinger Motorsports Campus. It has been a great time, and vision is the key to being a fast rider.
Vision. I need to start wearing my glasses. So
that could help.
Okay. So we don't want to get into any more of that. So there was a minor detail of a MotoGP race this weekend.
Yeah. Honestly, in lieu of not being a spoiler show, but definitely being a spoiler show, hopefully you guys have seen the championship finish and know the results, because we're definitely going to share that tonight. If not, don't click off our show, because I don't want you to, but understand that you will, by the end of this episode, know who won. So I'm just going to say it. My predictions were correct, and you, Cole, were wrong. So I think I should get a prize for that.
Well, go ahead and pick you out something nice.
Okay. I'll do that.
Yes, I mean, it was pretty obvious going into the weekend. I know anything can happen, and commentators, media, everything been doing their best to hype it up to try to make it sound like there was still a competition.
Yeah.
Not much unlike the Mike Tyson fight.
We don't need to get into that one.
I think we all knew the outcome that was going to come in our hearts. So
I will say, not to just kind of gloss over it, we'll break it down a little more, but after watching the sprint, also no spoilers here, I did just watch both of these back-to-back within the last hour and a half, so they are pretty fresh in my mind, which is nice, except for the getting spoilers on social media all weekend. Kind of ruins it a little bit, but I tried to keep an open mind and still enjoy the racing, because that's what we're here for. And you're right, you know, the excitement that comes from the commentators, that's their job. It's hard to build excitement where there's none to be had. But I will say, after the sprint, I knew the results, but had I not known the results, I might have been like, holy cow, this is interesting. The biggest comment that I kind of want to get your opinions on and your thoughts on was the Aleix Espargaró will do whatever he can to get the number one plate into the Aprilia box next year. And that, not the Aleix part per se, but it hit me that we could have a non-championship winning bike with a number one plate on it. So that's kind of interesting. I was curious to think, just kind of get your thoughts on that, see how you felt.
So in my opinion, it's kind of a new thing for Bagnaia to be running the one for a lot of years. You know, Rossi wasn't going to run a one on his bike.
Yep.
His number means too much. So for a lot of years, we had champions that did not run the one. That being said, I think it'd be silly for him to run the one on his Aprilia bike next year.
So you think it'd be silly for him to do it?
Mm-hmm. I don't think he has every right, but I don't think he should run it.
So I also thought it would be a little weird, but I also kind of thought it would be a kind of a hit back at Ducati. Like, yep, could have kept it in your garage, but you got rid of me, so I'm going to take it over here to Aprilia. Have fun.
I think the hit's enough that nobody else gets to put it on their bike.
That's fair. I'll give you that. It'll be interesting. I know that's a decision that usually doesn't come until we get the liveries. There's hints of it, and everyone's got their speculation, but I don't know, at least. And I don't think we'll know until next season. So, but just keep that in the back of your mind. We could. And I don't think Jorge will. I think Jorge is true to Jorge after all of his experiences, and props to him. Yep, he won the championship. We'll break down the races a little bit after we knock out some fantasy here in a second. But props to him for doing it. He deserves it 100%. And I feel like he's kind of along the Rossi, Marquez, Lorenzo line of like, no, it's my freaking number. I'm going to keep my number. People can remember me, not number one. That's my prediction going into next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, who knows what they're thinking, but I mean, Pecco put the one on his bike, and it was such a big deal for Ducati to have that back in their stable. Who knows whose decision that really was, but once you started running it, you just left it on there.
Yeah, that's fair. That would be wild to see someone put a number one plate on and then the next year be like, eh.
Yeah, it wasn't a big deal. Going back to my number.
Yeah, there you go, Ducati. You got it for a year. It's all about me again. It's interesting. I wonder. I don't have any actual theory or data, not theory, but data on that. But I was just kind of thinking, a champion that comes back with a number one plate is defending the championship. A champion that comes back with his number could argue that he's not defending anything. He's just winning another championship. And at least like for me, I was like, I think that's the mentality I would have. And I would try and go into it like, well, no, I'm not here to defend. I'm just here to win it again. I'm here to prove that I'm the champion this year. It's a new year. Same me. Let's do it. Just because I have a championship on my belt doesn't mean I have this one.
Well, let's get that fantasy out of the way so we can get into the race.
The fantasy, the long-awaited season end. A couple of us have stuck with us for the entire season. A couple of people look like maybe they haven't, and that's okay. I can only say that's okay because there's two different teams that still have all their boosts left and are higher than me in our in our league. So I'm not super happy about that, but whatever. So we'll start with this week's weekly winner. And I can't even just start with that because I also have to give you the championship winner. So instead of doing this week's weekly winner, because they're the same person, we'll start with the third place. I think we'll just do the top three. Does that sound good, Cole?
Sounds good.
All right. So your third place winner coming to you from Great Britain with a whopping total of 2,904 points is Swindle 31 Racing. So he averaged 146.26 throughout the season, and that's interesting. I'll dive into why that's interesting here in a second. All boosts are used, ended with $22.8 million, which is not the lowest number, or actually, which is higher than the guy in first. So kind of interesting there, some interesting data. But that is the third place winner, Swindle 31 Racing. Reach out to us on Instagram, at JKMoto Entertainment. Coming in second place, are we ready for second place?
Yes, sir.
All right. We got Team Thor from the United States. We know who you are, I assume. You know who you are. With a whopping 2,926 points. But here's the interesting point. Do you remember the average from Swindle 31 Racing?
146.26,
right? Very exact number there. The average points for Team Thor is also 146.26. But they have 22 more points total. So, a little interesting there. I don't know if Swindle 31 skipped a week or something like that, or where the boosts were used, maybe. I don't know. But same average, but they do have more points. And they almost won the weekly at 147 points from this past weekend. And their team value ended at $22.3 million. And then, finally, our first place winner for the JK Moto Podcast. Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead with the drum roll.
It's done. It's good. Okay. It's in there.
All right. For the JK Moto Podcast League in the 2024 MotoGP World Championship Fantasy Game is Triple Three Racing. With the ever so whopping, I'll use the same word again because it is quite large, 3,073.5 points. At an average of 154, and the winner of the week at 147.5. Barely took home that weekly win at 0.5 over Team Thor in second, but their team value was $20.9 million. So at the end, they did not have the highest value. The highest value goes to, looks like, Swindle 31 at the 22.8 down in third place. So kind of interesting seeing those differences in the values. The differences in the averages. Obviously, the guy with the highest average should have the most points. That's how averages work. That's why I'm very confused why second and third place don't have the same points but have the same average. So, but those are your top three. All of you, please reach out to us on Instagram, and we'll hook you up with the winnings for this wonderful 2024 season. If you didn't join in the fun this year or whatever it might be, we will be having a league next year. I'm also hoping, I can't say whether or not, and I have no connections with Grid Rival, but I'm hoping Grid Rival comes back. Last year they said they probably would, or they wanted to. So we'll keep you up to date on that as we get more information. Grid Rival is a little bit different game, and Cole and I are more used to that one. So despite where we finished, which was 11th for me and less than that for Cole, if we go back to Grid Rival, it could be different. We had some pretty good fights over there back in the day. So it is the fantasy right. Closeout. The
fantasy is closed out, and for me, thank goodness.
Yeah. We got to do better next year so that we it's not just every week like, oh, do we have to do this? Because we really weren't so good at it, and we don't want to hear how bad we are again. And I'm not just saying for you. I didn't do that great either. I had a couple weeks where I was like, I'm coming back, and then I was not coming back at all. Anyway.
I blame Jack Miller directly.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine. He said now that he watches MotoGP enough and follows along, he knows how to pick a good fantasy league for next year. But he's probably still going to just stay true to his people. And if you stay true to your people, depending on who your people are, that might not work. I got high hopes for Jack somewhere.
So Jack had a crash today.
Did he?
Yeah, Jack had a crash today. It was no big deal. He was 13th, 14th, something, and whatever. Happy that the miserable year is over for him. And he's got someone next year. But that being said, oh, man, how come it catches me every time? The Hondas were in full force out there, man. Joan Zarco's all over the place in qualifying. He's setting fast laps. Joan Mir doesn't look terrible. Luca Marini even looking okay by their standards, their current standards. They're all looking great. And then Joan Mir crashes.
Hey.
What?
He finished the sprint.
That's only half a race.
Credit where credit's due. He finished the sprint.
Yeah. What's that? The second one he's finished for the year?
Yeah, for him, that's pretty good. And not actually in like dead last or anything either. He was up in 13th. So the prior world champion, previous world champion, as the commentators would say, finally finished the sprint. Because I watched these back to back, it was really funny because I made a mental note of that. I was like, hey, he did it. And then we started the race and I was like, hey, oh, okay. No, we're still here.
In the race, it was right after the commentator that said, he's doing pretty good, and he's just trying to finish a race. He's had a hard time finishing races this year, and it was like two laps later, he was in the dirt.
Yeah. Interesting. I can't just blame Honda at this point, but I also get asked while watching it. I'm down here with a friend this weekend, and he's like, did Honda keep him? I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, why? And I was like, well, you know, no one else really wants the spot. And he's not going to say no, because no one else really wants him now either. So they're kind of stuck with each other until they start doing something good. So it's crazy. You know, we have the Joan Mir controversy on this channel, and I can't disagree with the controversy. It's definitely here and it's definitely real. And there's a reason for it. But he does have a world championship under his belt. The year that he got it in is where the controversy comes from. But the Suzuki's not on the grid anymore to, like, compare to. And the Honda hasn't been good since. So while I don't think that Joan Mir is necessarily championship-winning material, and I don't know that he ever quite was, it would be interesting to have him out on a decent bike, put him on something that's actually competitive. I'd be very curious to see how the season had gone if he was on an Aprilia or a KTM. So it's a little sad to me to see that he is just going to be back at Honda next year. Let's hope they can do something. But so far, Yamaha's proven a lot more that they want to still be here than Honda is. So that's what I have to say on the Joan Mir controversy. That is
so very, very true. So let's go back. Let's go back to before the races. What about that Maverick Vinales cut off of Pecco putting him on the ground?
Yeah. So I only caught that on social media. I actually didn't catch that. I wasn't able to watch anything else this weekend, but I did see that, and I had to double take and check, make sure it wasn't Saturday or Sunday yet, because I thought that was quite a wild post to see as like the first post in my feed, and then I was like, oh, nope, it's, well, that was Friday, so, or was it Saturday?
It was Friday. It's an interesting way to start out the weekend.
Yeah, I do have to say, a huge shout out also to Pecco. Pecco showed up this weekend and he worked his freaking butt off. He did everything he needed to do. Fate wasn't in his hands, but we were in Spain, you know, Barcelona. And it's very interesting to see the grid and realize how many people, you know, were in their home country in front of their home crowd. One of those being the championship winner, but Pecco stuck to it. He did that thing that Pecco does when there's like, he's, you know, the robot. He's got to have the perfect amount of pressure behind him, and he seems to just pull this robotic riding out of nowhere. When there's not enough pressure, he he folds, and when there's too much pressure, he folds. But if there's that perfect amount, he can lay down a solid weekend, and that's exactly what he did this weekend, I think. Just kind of wild to think about that, you know, we showed up in Spain, Barcelona, Spain, attracted Aleix Espargaró as his final race in MotoGP, Jorge Martin, first championship, possibility to win, Marc Márquez. Great way to end the season would be to win a race in front of your home crowd. Alex Márquez kind of came out of the woodworks out of nowhere, was up there kind of battling and fighting. So you have all these Spaniards that are like, nope, I've got a reason to be here. And I'm, besides Joan Mir, apparently had no reason to do anything besides wreck a Honda. So
why should this weekend be any different than any other one?
Yeah, I guess that's what the crowd expects. So give them what they want. So is that what we're going on?
Yep. So you alluded to it earlier, but we had a sprint race. Pecco came into that, I believe, 24 points down. We started the sprint race. Like you said, Pecco did what he needed to do. He won the race. The best battle there was between Bastianini and Jorge Martin.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, 100%. The sprint was pretty action-packed, which I say that with the caveat that, like, yes, sprints are going to have more action, but for a sprint even, I'd say this one was pretty good. You know, because Jorge had the opportunity to possibly take the championship there and set history. I hate how much they were like, he could be the first winner ever to win a championship on a sprint. Like, cool, it's only your second season. Like, I don't care. But anyway, whatever. It is a history note, and we have so many things in history now that you got to get them where you can, I guess. But yeah, it led to quite an interesting sprint. You know, we had Bastianini and Jorge pretty much fighting out the whole time. I also think Bastianini was not just looking out for his boy, his teammate. I think he was more so trying to grab that third spot in the championship.
Yeah.
Which, insert Marc Márquez, was also trying to secure the third spot in the championship. I do want to dig into that non-wreck loss of the front end of your KTM that happened to Pedro. Get your opinion on that.
That was a naked bike.
When they said that, they're like, yeah, it's a naked KTM out there. I was like, there's no way. And then you see it pull back into the paddock. I was like, oh, wow.
So in real time, I seen the piece come off the bike, and I knew it was big.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever piece was missing. When you seen all the pieces going across the track, I was like, that's a lot of pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, it just didn't quite occur to me that it was quite literally the entire front of the bike.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that was nuts.
I wish he would have won the race with that bike to prove once and for all that aero doesn't matter.
Yeah. But it does matter. They say it. That guy must be struggling out there. He's missing that wing on the left side. It really just throws off the whole bike. I do have another point on aero to bring up, I think, a little later. But just to close that out, I do want your thoughts and opinions, because I have my own. But I'm curious, you being on the other side of the fence of me.
About the piece coming off?
Whose fault that was. Yeah, is what I'm getting at.
It was his fault.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure that at first I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, I'd only seen small clips of it. And I was like, oh, there goes Mark again doing the Mark thing. But then I watched it in the sprint, the replay. I was like, oh, no, that is – Mark was on the outside clean, didn't come in. Pedro, like, stood his bike up. And
We had that analysis in the household in real time, and everybody agreed. It was all, right. All Pedro. I'll give all you right, on that one.
There we go. That's what we needed.
Pedro ended up finishing fifth in points overall, which is ahead of everybody else on a KTM.
He did, in fact, do that. He did. Yeah, I mean, they mentioned that, and it kind of hit me for real at that point. Well, no, he didn't.
They're tied.
No, not according to MotoGP's website.
My understanding was they were tied at the end of that race, unless he got passed one more time.
I thought so, too. Let me pull up the results from the race now, because the standings of MotoGP have 2 points going Brad Binder over Pedro. But, yeah, Pedro finished in 10th, and Brad finished in 6th. I guess you and I both got caught up in they quickly mentioned it and then didn't actually come back into it. But no, unfortunately, Pedro did not quite, which I think if I had to give it to someone, which is hard because Pedro had all the attention, right? So, you know, we came into the year with Pedro being the baby Jesus and all this stuff, and he had all the attention from us and everyone alike. And so it is hard to remember, because all I really remember from Brad and like KTM in general, besides Pedro this year, but even including Pedro, was a lot of wrecks. It was a big wreck season, I think, for everyone. And, you know, I was, talking to some people and I said that KTM really let me down this year, much like Aprilia, because they weren't really there. And Pedro seemed to be the most there, but even like when you look back on the season as a whole, he had some great moments, but overall, he kind of like he came out strong for half a second, made some rookie mistakes, maybe whatever you want to call them, didn't do the best. But we all kind of chalked that up to like he's new here and he still had a great time and he's doing great and he proved that he belongs here. Cool, good. We don't need to rehash that. But flash forward through the season, there were multiple points where Pedro could have done amazing things and he wrecked. And I'm not going to fault him for it because it's his rookie season. And you got to learn, and he's learning. It's just a little sad to me that KTM wasn't really there as much as I thought they would be. But now I'm here looking at the standings, and Brad Binder is right there behind him up in fifth. So maybe, yeah, maybe I just have a misjudge of what actually happened in the season. I don't know.
Well, I mean, honestly, you got to – they always say you got to beat your teammate first, right? So Brad's not technically his teammate. Will be next year. But for him to be on a satellite bike, in theory, racing the factory KTMs, and I mean, you're right. He had he'd come out of the gate firing. He had a lull in the action. He started to come back and have some good results, and then the last quarter of the season has been a wreck fest for him.
Yeah. Good, like, on par for good results with some kind of – I don't want to just throw out the word rookie, but, you know, some mistakes that led to him not winning. He definitely had a few weekends where he could have done some awesome stuff, and he was on track to do it. It wasn't just like, oh, he looked really good here in practice. It was, no, he had a great weekend and then wrecked out a sprint, then wrecked out of the race right afterwards. So to finish in sixth with all of that just goes to show, like, how much everyone else didn't show up. Yeah. A rough season outside of the top four people, I think. And even inside the top four people, we had some questions of, does anyone want to win this championship going on the whole season? So what an interesting year in MotoGP.
So I have to ask for your completely biased opinion. When I watched the race today, and I don't want to give you any cred, but when I watched the race today, I felt like Mark Marquez could have pushed and went for that win at any time.
Yeah. I had similar feelings. I'm not going to give you – I don't know. There's a big part of me. I don't have an official decision because in my head, being a Mark fan and knowing Mark, I want to be like, no, there's no way he'd ever just give someone a win like that. But the other side of me is like, Ducati might have specifically told him, like, you can only pass this guy if it's absolutely clean. But, yeah, I mean, he sat there right on him for the majority of the race, like right there, not like I'm hanging back at second waiting.
See, at no time in a real racing situation where Mark's trying to win that race, at some point he would have got back up on the back of him and tried putting some more pressure, but he kept a non-pressuring distance as well. He stayed off of him. He was close, but he never showed him a tire.
Also, on the note of not showing him a tire, you watch him go down the front straight, or I guess the back straight there. He popped out from behind him every single time to brake. And it's something I picked up on today because it, you know, brought back memories of Jorge Martin and other people. But the big one was last year with Jorge Martin in the 2023 season ender when he got sucked up in the aero, sucked up in the turbulence or whatever in the slipstream. And I was just sitting there watching Mark pop out and then not go for it every single time. It was like, is he avoiding the slipstream? And in the moment, I wasn't actually thinking about what we're currently talking about, which is, was he under strict orders to not cause any problems. I was kind of hoping he did. Not like I didn't want him to go up and wreck Pecco, but I was hoping he went up and put Pecco and Jorge Martin in a fight. Because, like, realistically, we go into the race and Martin just has to finish, what, ninth or better? So, like, it's pretty much done. With how well he's doing, all in all, how well he did this weekend, like you said, it's pretty much over. But it's a lot cooler to win a championship and win a race. It's a lot more fun to get a gold medal and a championship win. So had he been closer to that fight, it might have been a little bit more fun of a race. And who's to say how crazy Jorge would have gone? Because if Pecco wrecked, he instantly wins the championship as long as he finishes the race, period. So it's like, could have been awesome. Completely biased opinion. I definitely had some strong feelings that Mark was told, especially when Bagnaia made that mistake and then Mark like almost dove for it, didn't, and then backed back off. You know, they said, like, oh, no, Pecco came right back on the line. Everything's good. I'm like, that's not Mark Marquez. You don't.
Well, along those lines, you mentioned Aleix earlier, and I know the announcers were giving him all kinds of credit for being the wingman for Martin, but I wouldn't agree, except that race could have went quite a bit different if that battle between Bastianini and Aleix, Bastianini passed him multiple times, and he didn't just let it go. He fought back. He got the spot back until it finally screwed up Bastianini's race to where at the end it doesn't look that way. But there was a time in that race where it was entirely possible for Bastianini to get back up there and cause Jorge pressure.
Yeah. I mean, it is interesting because you want to believe that every racer just wants to go out and win. But then there is also the fact that, like, all of these guys are actually pretty good. I was also having a conversation about that. You know, I was out here doing some training, getting some coaching this weekend and chasing.
Except for Joe Munmeyer, just finally. Sorry.
But when you're at my level, you're chasing seconds. You know, or the club level in general, I would say you're kind of chasing seconds. As you get higher up, it gets smaller and smaller. To get up into that higher level, close to Moto America or the top of the club or whatever it might be, and you start chasing like half of a second. But I would say that you're still like, I'm looking for high 130s. Now I'm looking for mid 130s. Now I'm looking for low 130s. You get into MotoGP and realistically, like on any given weekend at any given track, if the bikes are working well and everyone's in tip-top shape, we can split the top 10 usually by a couple tenths of a second on like qualifying, right? And so it's interesting to kind of put that into perspective and then think about the fact that a rider like Aleix Espargaró hasn't done that well this year, but realistically, he's not a bad rider on the grid. He's inconsistent. The bike seems to have maybe gotten stepped up for this weekend. I don't know where he was doing good. I don't know. Maybe he just likes Barcelona. We're not going to talk about that too much, but
he does. We are going to talk about that. He does like Barcelona. You can count his wins in his entire career. You can count Aleix's wins on a shop teacher's single hand. And at least one of those has been at Barcelona. I mean, that's his home track. So, of course, he's better there than he is at other places. So
yeah, I'll give you that. But Maverick's also from Spain. Maverick was not doing so good this weekend, and Maverick's riding next year. Aleix is going out. I don't know. I don't want to dive into it, but there was a thought I had that like has really been holding back, and was like, oh yeah, but hey, by the way, since it's your last ride, we'll just give you the full beans. Here you go. They've been wanting to not spend too much money this year because they knew it was over. And someone commented that on a couple episodes ago, which is kind of why I've been thinking about that. I've got to give credit to him. I don't remember the name. Sorry. But your comment made me kind of start thinking about that. And it's sad, but it kind of makes sense. So
I don't know. Other than that, I mean, Bagnaia won the sprint, won the race. He finished down by 10 points. There's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda, and every rider can do woulda, coulda, shoulda. I can do woulda, coulda, shoulda at a club level. I mean, what it could have, should have doesn't mean anything. I get that. But, my gosh, when you look back and think of 8 DNFs, I blame Mark Marquez.
Look.
Let's go back. Let's go back to the first of the year. You remember towards the first of the year, one of the first people Mark hit out there was Pecco. They went down together, remember?
Together, yeah.
Yeah, but he raced that. He's the champion. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, it's been an interesting season. To parry your shot at Mark, I would say that without Mark, this season might have been extremely boring. There were some good fights, and I'm not trying to take anything away from that, but I think Mark brought a lot of fun to the season, being on a competitive bike again. Last year was a little rough. He still brought some fun to the season, but it was getting to be like, for most people, it got to be too much. For me, it was really getting to be like, okay, dude. And even for him, you know, near the end of the season in 2023, he kind of backed off and said, I can't do it anymore. This year, it was nice. There were still a lot of wrecks out there. And what I don't want to lose sight of as a fan, and, you know, talk as much crap as you want, but it was his first year on a Ducati, and I do think he had a pretty impressive year. Finished in third, only behind the two people that were fighting for the championship. For a little while in the season, there was still a question, and I'll give Bastianini that credit also. Bastianini was up there with them. You know, there was a point where we both, like, everyone knew where it was going to go, but there was that slight possibility if Jorge and Bagnaia keep being weird and dumb, one of these other two could take it. And only one of those three people is on last year's bike. So despite what anyone says, I'm a fan. I got to hit it home. I think it was a great season for Mark. And I'm glad he was there, and I'm glad he was on a competitive bike.
And Jack Miller was tied for first going into Qatar.
Okay.
Oh, that was the race. It's all over. So Tuesday, I'm kind of excited for Tuesday coverage, what we get to see, because, yeah, a lot of new faces on a lot of new bikes.
Yeah, and maybe some cool testing colors. Probably not.
Yeah. Maybe a side bet to see if Maverick's the king of practice again on his new KTM.
That would be an interesting side bet. Well, and there's the big question. I haven't looked into that, but where are they doing it? Are they going to stick around in Barcelona?
I would assume, but I guess I haven't paid attention.
It's not really on their calendar.
Yeah, that's the one they're not going to show us much of.
Yeah, you kind of just have to follow the timing. Barcelona. Yep, they'll just stay in Barcelona, which does make sense. So, yeah, you got Maverick going on an Aprilia. You got Maverick going on a KTM. Jorge Martin going to an Aprilia. Bezzecchi heading over to Aprilia. Bastianini going to KTM. I mean, all four of those names, when I bring those up, are pretty heavy hitters. Yeah, so it'll be really interesting.
Some big name moves. Jack Miller going to Pramac with a Yamaha.
Yeah, that's true. That'll be interesting. And what did Morbidelli end up there? I keep forgetting. We finished the silly season pretty early this year, so
Morbidelli's a VR46.
That's right. Okay, so he'll be back on a Ducati. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be nuts. The test will definitely be cool to kind of see all of that. An interesting season next year. I'm looking forward to it. Unfortunately, like, Pecco is still extremely good, and he's still on a factory Ducati, and I'm still afraid that ain't no one gonna have anything for it, especially with this 2027 getting ever close to the forefront here. With all the rule changes, I think it's still far enough off, and these teams have big money, so you know, we're still expect good competition. And I don't think, like, I think Ducati is probably equally scared of the rule changes and what other people will come up with, since it's such a big change. So I would expect Ducati to put everything they possibly can in winning the championship every year until then, at least, right? Obviously, once we go there, they're still going to do that, but I'd say they want to end off the era of the 1,000cc superbikes with just, it was Ducati for the last 5 years of that era. So
make hay while the sun's shining.
Yep.
I want to say congratulations, Jorge Martin. Congratulations to his fanboys. Was a good season. The guy's obviously fast. I think his career's over, but that's besides the point. What about his celebration?
I did not watch the celebration. You're going to have to fill me in on that.
All right. So the Martinator, full of emotion, went. They had a box built on the side of the track. He went into the box. It had a big Terminator Martin, you know, picture on the side of it. He went in the box for a long, long time. And it was funny because it's become like this tradition, at least in World Superbike, to put a gold suit on. Top Rack did it. Batista did it. So I fully expected him to come out in a gold suit. He went into the box, was in there for, like I said, forever, long enough to change his suit. But then on first glance, when he came out, he still had the same suit on, we thought. He just came out with his suit looked the same, whatever, but he had half a Terminator face on with the red eye.
Okay, yeah.
He had like a plastic, I don't know, I think most of that stuff's corny. But anyway, he come out, he's got this Terminator mask on. There's a box at the end of a walkway. And he pulled his hand out and made a gun thing, and the box exploded, and there was a gold helmet on a pedestal inside there. And then he took his Terminator mask off and threw it, and he walked down there and he got his helmet, whatever. But on closer review, he actually did change his leathers. They didn't do a good enough job of making them different enough. One side of him was kind of had like biometrics on it or something, so he looked like one side of him was kind of a robot. And it had the number ones on it.
I'll have to go back and watch it. I was kind of in a rush to get the sprint and race watched. And like I said, I had a busy weekend. So we were trying to get that done quick, get over here, get set up, and get this podcast filmed. But I'll have to go back and watch it and give it some more thoughts on that. I don't have a problem with the celebrations. I think it's good. I think it's good for the sport, good for the fans. You know, the only thing I was kind of laughing at halfway through the race, I was like, you know, if Martin wrecks right now,
Magnussen's not going to have anything prepared.
Well, I was like, how much did Ducati spend on a possible championship celebration that they just put to waste? You know, how many three-time world champion T-shirts go in the trash now? Which I think we'd mentioned that last year also or something like that, but. It's like, you know, pick any major sport event, all the big publicity and whatnot is gonna bank on either one and make stuff for either one. But there, when you think about like this big celebration like that, like, can we also see what Pecos look like? Like, I know he didn't win, but like, let's just see the celebration. Let's have a comparison of celebrations. Maybe that's what happens if they tie. Man, what if he had a tie in the championship?
Never going to happen.
You're right.
Well, there's too many variables after that. But all right, I told you we're going to keep this short. Let's get you out of the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah.
And we look forward to hearing all the stories from your amazing weekend.
Yeah. No, it was a great weekend. Definitely stand by for that. I'm excited to kind of go over all of it. I would love to talk about it tonight, but we had MotoGP to cover, and it's been a busy, workful weekend. So everyone down here at the campus is nice and sore and tired and ready for bed. So didn't want to put everyone through a podcast episode right at the end. So we'll take a week or two break and recap on it at a later date. But I can say that I think it'll be a very good episode, well worth listening to. And I can also say that if you haven't come and trained with Josh, and I don't know that I can tell you to travel as long as I did. I won't say don't do it because I still think it's worth it. But definitely, if you're within, you know, 8 hours of the Bittinger campus, go check him out. It's awesome. It's a great time. Josh will hook you up. Super good coach. Knows a lot of great stuff, and I'm very excited to get on here and unwrap that with him and go through all the fun times we had this weekend. So,
all right, looking forward to it.
Yep. Well, on that note, looking forward to that. Looking forward to our winter coming up. Club racing's over. We'll keep covering CVMA though, because they're still racing. The winter doesn't stop the motorcycle racers down in Southern California. In fact, that's where most of them gather for the winter. So we'll keep up with that over the winter. But MotoGP is over. World Superbike's over. MotoAmerica's over. So it's getting to be that kind of cold time of the year. So make sure your bikes are taken care of. If you feel like riding, head down south. There are plenty of tracks that would love your business. And it's worth it. Keep yourself up to shape and keep your bike prepped and ready to go. But it is time of, you know, we're going into winter. It's time for reflection and hanging out with family and not saving any money for your next race season, even though you should. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway. Sorry. Not to go on too long. But anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. Appreciate it. And I guess, yeah, we'll see you all next week and unwrap this Josh Bittinger campus trip that we took.
All right, perfect. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.